This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Thank you, Father. Thank you for these beautiful children, which are children of yours, which are a gift to their parents. And Father, that today that they can also hear about the Holy Spirit, how important it is that you've given us, which shows your love. You've shown your love through Jesus Christ, and you show your love also to giving us the Holy Spirit. Now pray, Father, that they can experience the Holy Spirit in their lives so that they can be used for building your kingdom. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. It was quite a few weeks ago when I was standing here the last time. I think it's 4 or 5 weeks back, and I had some other faithful people, faithful brothers who have been preaching in the meantime. I'm really thankful for that, for Geoffrey, for Urbanus, for Derek, for Banish, for Christo, who are helping with preaching at the moment. It's awesome. But what I'm trying to do is that we are interested, that we know what's going on, and that we are involved over here. Because today we're celebrating the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is a celebration which we've got on a Christian calendar. And I can say Christianity without the Holy Spirit is not Christianity. Because if we want to be a Christian and we want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, then we also have got to accept the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. And a beautiful thing, it's holy. It's from God. It's not something what you buy a jumbo. It's special. It's from God. Creator of heaven and earth, he's giving it to us. And he gave it to us because he promised it. Joel 2 verses 28. God already promised it in the Old Testament. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Not on only certain people. In certain areas or certain length or width or height or anything like that. No, for all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. I'm battling a little bit with that one. And your young men shall see visions. This is what God's promising already in the Old Testament. And Jesus is confirming it in John 14 verses 16. And I will pray the Father that he will give you another helper. The other helper is the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever. So there we've got a beautiful promise from God already in the Old Testament. Jesus is confirming it when he was speaking to the disciples. And then we see that promise is coming. Jesus is talking about when he's just before he is ascending to heaven. And he says to them, and being assembled together with them, he commanded, that's Jesus then, commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. They had to stay in Jerusalem and to wait for the promise of the Father, the promise which he already made to Joel, the promise what Jesus repeated when he was talking in John to the disciples. Again, he is saying, wait for the promise of the Father, which Jesus said, you have heard from me. He has mentioned it before. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So they knew it was going to come. And that's why they were together. They were together in Jerusalem. And immediately, if we take a look at the next verses, they thought, okay, that kingdom, what they had in their mind, which was going to destroy the Romans, that was going to happen now. So they asked immediately to Jesus, when is it happening? When is that kingdom coming that we can get rid of the Romans? Jesus said, I don't know it. The Father knows it. And he will tell it at his time. And then Jesus carries on. And then he says to him, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the end of the earth. If there's one word which is standing central in the whole book of Acts, then it's the word power. You receive the power from the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, Again, he's making that promise. The rest of Acts, we can read about that power through Paul and through Peter and how it is affecting the other people. After Jesus has spoken, he is ascending to heaven because he had to go, otherwise the Holy Spirit couldn't come, as it was promised. Jesus was speaking to his disciples, what God was saying to him. Jesus is gone, the Holy Spirit is now there, and the Holy Spirit is saying to us, who are filled with the Holy Spirit, of what God is telling us what we should hear. And then they went to Jerusalem. They were obedient. It wasn't that they said, no, Jesus is gone. I'm not quite sure what we should do now. Let's go back fishing or come up with another idea. But they were obedient. Acts 1 verses 14. They all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. They all continued with one accord. Accord is a Greek word which consists of two parts. The one it is that's all the same. But the other part it is unanimously, with one mind, on one accord. They all thought exactly the same. And in supplication. The supplication is what we would say, it's a petition. So they were actually praying to God and saying, you've promised in Joel, you've promised the Holy Spirit. Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit. Father, we are asking that your promise is going to come true, that it is going to happen. And we sometimes also have got to pray something like that. If we feel that we've got a right, in brackets, to pray to God, then we can also petition God. Then we can say, Lord, in your word, this is what you say. And then we can petition him. They are making a request. They are begging God. They're beseeching him and they're asking. And they're praying over there. But between starting with praying and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, something happens. Peter is standing up. Now, Peter, we know he had a few experiences with Jesus, and Jesus had to a few times get him back again on the road. Good guy, Peter's nothing wrong with it. But over here again, he's standing up. It's not that Peter, it's another Peter. In the 10 days, what they've been praying, Peter stood up. And then he said, and then he's quoting two psalms. The one psalm is out of Psalm 69, verses 25, because he's referring to Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus. And he's referring to him, and he says, let his dwelling place be desolate, and let no one live in it. He's talking about Judas, so which means that nothing and nobody is going to do exactly the same. But then he's quoting a Psalm 109, verses 8, and he says, let another one take his office. That office of Judas, what Judas was doing over there, that office, that job became vacant. It had to be filled again. Then they said, it has got to be a person who was there when Jesus was baptized with John, baptism, and who was there on Ascension Day and in between. And they had two people, Matthias and Joseph. And it was at the final end, Matthias, who became number 12, and that the number 12 could be completed again. We know the number 12 of the 12 tribes, what God has got as well in Israel. We can see now there's a completeness. It nearly looks like that had to happen before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit could take place. And I think we can, with surety, we can say that Peter also has been stirred by the Holy Spirit to do this. And then it is beautiful that those people are praying over there. Now, you see different disciples and you see different minds over there. They are thinking different. They're acting different. When it comes to one thing what they've got in common, then they're praying about it and they're serious about it. Now, I don't know how many of you have already seen the Chosen series. They're already busy with the second series. And if you see the difference between Matthew and Peter and those disciples, what you can see on screen, how they're already differing over there, it must have been different difficult for them to come together and to pray. But we can see it over here. They are doing it because they want to be doing and they want to be serious and they want to be obedient of what God is telling them to do. And as they are praying, Pentecost Day is coming. Acts 2 verses 1 says, "And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." Pentecost is a Jewish holiday. Penta means 50. It was 50 days after Passover. If we take a look at the weeks, because it happens on a Sunday, it's 7 weeks of 7 days after Jesus Christ's resurrection. And this is now where they've got the Jewish feast. They call it a festival of weeks. They also call it the feast of the harvest or the feast of the first fruit. And what was happening is that they were coming then from different places. And you can see it on the map behind me, that they were coming as far as from Rome. So they were coming from the Roman Empire, but they were also coming from the Parthian Empire. And they were coming to Jerusalem for that festivity. There were Jewish people coming to Jerusalem for that festivity. And it's actually beautiful. So you don't have to send out messages to the people. People were coming to you to receive the message. And on that Pentecost day, that feast of the first fruit, the first church started. Now, if there's one who's doing planning, then it is God. In detail, perfect. Feast of the first fruit, then he starts with the church. As the people have been praying, God is answering them on the prayer to those 120 in the upper room. Verse 2 and 3, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and was sitting on each and every one of them." Not only on a few people, but on all of them. And we can read it in the next line as well, in verse 4. "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." This is something that we've got to keep in mind, that you cannot say, "I cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit." We've got proof over here that it is for each and every one. It's not only for a few selected people, or you must first be a member of the church or paid a certain amount of offering or anything like that. No, it's available for each and every believer. We can see it each and every one, each of them and all of them. And once they were filled with the Holy Spirit, this Peter stood up again and Peter started preaching. He started preaching because he got the power of the Holy Spirit. He was obedient to what Jesus has been saying about the great commandment. And there he started speaking. And then he quoted Joel 2 verses 28. And he started speaking about them. Peter wasn't a fisherman anymore. He was now an apostle. He was an evangelist. He was telling people about God and what God has done. And that Jesus has been sent and that Jesus was the Messiah. And then he also says in Acts 2 verses 33, "Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God," which means Jesus then, "and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit," here we hear again about the promise of God, "he poured out this which you now see and hear." So those flames must still have been on their heads. Because if he's talking about it, that he says, "which you now see and hear." So the flames must have been visible. So the people must have seen, but these people, these 120, there's something awkward with it. They've got a flame on top of their heads. And the other thing is they're speaking languages. I'm not going to mention those countries and so on. Languages, what they said, but it's from my language. It's from the area where I'm staying. It's from that area staying. It's from that area staying. So the people could see and hear. They could see the flame and they could hear the languages. And what Peter was explaining to them and said to them, but this is what you've done with the Messiah. This is what you've done with Jesus Christ. The guy said, but what should we do? And then Peter replied and said to them, verse 38, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. When you're going to be baptized, you're outwardly going to show what has changed on the inside. And you're going to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is going to come and that the Holy Spirit is going to stay in you. You maybe say, okay, it's fine that God poured out the Holy Spirit onto us. But what does God actually wants to do when he is pouring out the Holy Spirit? What is his goal? What does he wants to do? God wants to give us power. He wants to give us power so that we can do what Jesus told them to do, the great commandments. But also that we can allow the Holy Spirit to flow through us. Marco was just now talking about that water, that living water can flow through us, that the Holy Spirit can flow through us, that we can be that source of living water, the places where we are going to. And if we're going to receive the Holy Spirit, something is going to change. When I'm talking out of my own experience, it was when I was around 50, I went to the Encounter One, if I can put it that way, of Shofar, and then they asked, they said, who wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And I raised my hand, and I went forward, and they prayed for me, and one of the guys put his hand on the back, on my back as well. I could feel his fingers, I could feel his hand, I nearly want to say burning on my back. And they said, try to speak in a tongue. And I thought, are you nuts? What now? But then I started. And then I started speaking in tongues. Rene was standing next to me, and I think she only had one or two words. And when she heard me talking full sentences and chapters and all those, she got a little bit jealous. She said, where are you getting all those words? But it changed, and it has changed my life. Things which were a little bit strange for me, it became custom to communicate with God, to speak to God, to ask God, to read the Bible. For me, it was suddenly a book which I wanted to read. I wanted to read more out of it, of what was actually in it. And my life has changed. God wants to make a change in our lives with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And there are two things in it. The first one is the power, what we heard just now. The power that we can go out to be a witness for Jesus in the different areas. But also the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit so that we can edify the church and the people around us. And those gifts, we can read about them in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 7 to 10. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So it's not for your profit, but for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, the other one the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, the other one faith by the same Spirit, the other one gift of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another discerning different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpreting of tongues. This is what God wants to give us. This is what the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is all about. And God wants to give that to us so that we can be a follower of Christ, that we can do what God wants us to do. And there you must probably understand what I'm saying is you, a Christian without the Holy Spirit, sorry that I'm saying, is not a Christian. Because then you're basically just following Jesus. You may be going to church on Sunday. You need that power. And you should have those gifts of the Holy Spirit that they can flow through you. Okay, when I was preparing the sermon, the Lord told me that I had to do a certain thing, so I'm going to do it now. it maybe looks a little bit strange, but this is more or less our life before we are following Christ. It's full of dirt, stuff sticking out. But the beautiful thing is, if we go to God, we go to Jesus, we accept Jesus as our Savior, and God as the Father, and the Holy Spirit as our Helper, then it becomes empty. And it's rinsed by the blood of Jesus Christ. This is watertight, don't worry. And then we are a glass. And then we can be filled up with the Holy Spirit. But filling up of the Holy Spirit is not a matter of just up to there. Filling of the Holy Spirit is a matter of that it is overflowing. This is how we should love, run in life. Not half full or half empty, but we should be overflowing. We should be allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us, that we can be overflowing. Created some mess over here, but it's fun. I'm trying to just show it what it means if we're going to start away with God and how God wants to fill us with the Holy Spirit. If we come to Christ and we accept Christ as our Savior and the Lord, God is the Creator and the Holy Spirit is our Helper, then we receive them. But nothing has happened yet. We've got to ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit as well. And if we're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, or we're going to be filled in with the Holy Spirit, then it can start overflowing. And maybe it is happening, that if you've already done it, and you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, that you maybe come at the stage that you say, but my glass is running empty a little bit again. The Bible is also giving us examples that we can be refreshed with the Holy Spirit, that we can ask God to fill us again, to let us overflow again. I want to summarize it, what I've been saying now. God has got a plan, and He wants us to be part of His plan. And the plan what He's got is that He wants to restore that broken relationship between humankind, human and Him, between His creation and Himself. He wants to restore that relationship again. And He wants to use us for that. God has got also, and I'm saying with respect, a vacant position. As what the position of Judas Iscariot had to be filled again, God also wants to fill that position again, that we can be believers, that we can be Spirit-filled believers, and that we can make a difference in this world. And what I would like to do to you today is I'm going to challenge you. When you're going to leave the church, I'm going to ask you to take a chocolate along. I nearly sound like a salesperson now. Not one chocolate, but two chocolates. You're going to take two chocolates along. One chocolate is for you. The other chocolate you're going to give away. You're going to give away to another person. But you can only eat your chocolate once you've given the other one away. Then you can eat your chocolate. And I want to challenge you with that. I'm going to ask you to do that. Take two chocolates along. Go into the street and say, Lord, show me. To whom must I give that other chocolate? Who is in need of somebody showing love? Could be somebody at work. Could be that the one is in your drawer next to your bed for 2 weeks and then suddenly, in a dream, God is showing you who needs that chocolate. I don't know. But you must communicate with God. You've got to find out who needs that chocolate. Then you're going to give them that chocolate. Then you can say, there's a mad Dutch pastor over there at Shofar, Utrecht. He told me, I must give you a chocolate. No, the Holy Spirit told you to give that chocolate to that person. And then you say, this is something free what I'm giving you, but there's more. Because this chocolate is finished once you've eaten it. But God has got something for you, which has got eternal value. And God loves you. And he wants to give you more. Can I tell you more about Jesus? Can I tell you more about God? I'm going to challenge you to take 2 chocolates. When you're going to leave the church, there will be a tray over there. You can take 2 chocolates, 2 different tastes, so you can even choose your own taste. Take it along. It's maybe a different way of going to be used for what God wants us to use. Because we've got to go, is what the apostles had to go. The apostles were equipped, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And we can also be filled with the Holy Spirit if we are not filled with the Holy Spirit yet, and that we can be used for what God wants us to do. There's a lot of criticism towards the church that they say, oh, they come together on a Sunday and nothing is happening. This is an opportunity that we can show. Not for the people around us, but for God, that we are serious. And maybe it's going to be your first fruit that you're going to speak to somebody and you're going to give the chocolate and you say, God wants to give you more. He wants to give you eternal life. Because out there at the moment, yes, it's raining now and quite often the last few days, but the people are thirsty. They are looking for water. They're looking for water which is going to be giving them water for the rest of their life, that they don't have to each and every time run from one thing to another thing to another thing to keep them happy. But they can get the living water which is going to be with them forever and ever. And it's an opportunity for us to go outside. And if you say, but I think I can maybe take 1 chocolate for myself and I'm going to take 2 chocolates because I want to be a double blessing, I'm going to find 2 people to whom I can give a chocolate, go for it. With the amount of people in the church, I think there will be enough chocolates. But it's a very simple way of just getting used to it, to show somebody else love. God has shown it to us, and he's asking us in the great commandment that we show it, and that we should show it to other people as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And Father, there are so many promises what you've made in your word. And this is one of the promises what you've given. You made promises to Abraham about Israel. You made promises about the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was poured out. And Peter and his friends, they were filled with power to go out, and that they could spread the news, the good news. He was not a fisherman anymore. Now he was a spirit-filled person that he could go out and that he could reach people who haven't heard the gospel before. And as our eyes are closed at the moment, it could be that you're here in the church or that you may be listening or watching at the moment that you say, but I heard about Jesus, but I've never taken that decision. I've never publicly declared that I want to accept God, creator of heaven and earth, as my Father. Accept Jesus Christ as my friend, because he died for my sins. I want to repent of all my sins, and I want to thank Jesus Christ for what he's done at the cross. I want to receive the Holy Spirit as my helper. And if that's you, and if you say, that's for me, I know the Holy Spirit is knocking on my heart now. I've got to react. And I'm asking you now that you're going to raise your hand. And maybe you're at home and you say, yes, that's for me. I've got to make the decision now. Then I'm going to ask you to make contact with me or with Renee, that we can pray along with you and that you can start that relation, that awesome relation with God, which is going to last forever and ever. The next group that I want to invite are those people who've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. You've maybe been standing, I nearly want to say, on the sideline this afternoon, and you said, yeah, you're talking about the Holy Spirit as you go through it, I can see it, I need it. If I want to be a Christian, if I really want to be a follower of Christ, and if I want to do what God is telling me to do, then I need that power, and I need the gifts of the Holy Spirit to flow through me. And I want to accept, and I want to ask the Father for to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if that's you, then I'm asking you now that you're going to raise your hand. The third group that I want to pray for is those who are saying that half glass of water, which is standing on the table there, that's me. I'm running out of the Holy Spirit. I want to be refreshed again with the Holy Spirit. And if that's you, then I'm going to ask you to lift both hands like a funnel up to God, that I can pray with you and say, Lord, fill me up again with your Holy Spirit. Top me up again. Let me overflow. Let the people around me experience the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, Father, that it can flow through me again. Thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.